Glad I know who Jesus is. Don't you? Ain't you glad that you know Jesus? We could just stop right there and say amen and go to the house and rejoice till he comes. If you truly know him, it's the greatest knowledge any man can possess, any woman, any child, is to truly know the Lord Jesus. Amen. Take your Bibles this evening. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I hope you brought your Bible. I know many of you have gotten in the habit of coming to church in your jammies, pajamas, sweats or whatever, work clothes. My children asked me the other day, one of them, I believe it was Lola, Lola Beth asked, speaking of Lola, my precious grandma's here tonight on a Wednesday night. Ain't that a blessing? Grandma, I love you. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Lola Beth asked me, said, Daddy, I'm going to be sitting in the truck, and she's listening right over there. Said, why do I have to get dressed for church? I said, because we're going to church. Amen. I know that wouldn't go over. I didn't get many horns or lights on that one. But I still believe you ought to get dressed to go to the house of God. I do. That may be old-fashioned and out of date, but there's something special. There's something super special about God's house and meeting the Lord, meeting with the Lord. Tonight, this evening, I was dressed and ready for church. I put on my shirt, my pants and shoes and belt, and I thought, you know, I hate these colored nooses. I despise these things called ties. I hate them. I don't even tie them. I've tied this one probably 40 sermons ago, many years ago, and it just comes loose and hangs. And when I have to get that noose again, I pull it and put it back around my neck, but I don't reach. I hate them. And I thought, it's a Wednesday night. It's stormy. It was stormy. I thought we may get some more hail. And the wind was blowing. The temperature dropped. I said, nobody will care if I don't put this old raggedy, spitty, sweaty tie on. Nobody will care. Nobody will even probably notice. And God said, I do. I didn't need nobody to tell me, put your tie on, boy. The Holy Ghost said, I do. I'll just leave that there. So if I'm saying, if I can put a tie on, surely you can do better in pajamas. Amen. Love you. I still love you. I still love you. I still love you. And I understand, listen, some of you's coming from work. Brother Daniel told me, he said, we didn't come dressed for church tonight. They come in from work. And that's, I understand that. That ain't what I'm saying at all. Please don't take that the wrong way. Everybody all right? Good. Hebrews, have you found Hebrews? Hebrews, Jenny loves this book. She said that's God-given advice that the man has to make the coffee in the morning. Hebrews. That's right. And so I do every morning. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They are up there. I couldn't get past this point. I thought I wouldn't deal with this, but today, Mama, are you listening? I thought about the preacher all day. I wondered what he would do. And I know he's looking. He's looking along with so many others that are found here in Hebrews chapter 12, this precious promise. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and they are witnessing what we're doing. They are watching. what we're doing. And we're not to live for them. We're not to live to them. But they are watching. And that should have an impact on our race that we're running. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And weight and sin in a race will beset you. It will slow you down. It will stop you. It will strangle you. It will withhold you. You will not run your best with weight. And in the Christian life with sin, it is impossible. If you'll be honest and just, my goodness, I've got to get on to the message. I was not even planning on dealing with verse 1, but it's so powerful. Sin, I was thinking today, God's word is so relevant. And when you read just through a verse trying to get to another verse or two, just the verse you're passing through can just reach out and touch you. Sin, the sin that does so easily beset us. Do you know sin has a stain? How many of you will be honest enough to look back through your life and just look at what sin has done to you? It's never added up. It's never benefited. It's always been killing and taking and robbing and staining you. So what would make us think today would be any different? Sin still does what sin does. It stops. It strangles and slows us down. Sin is still doing what sin has always done, preventing those of us who would run the race the way we ought to run. The Bible says, lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we do have a race to run. Amen. Thank God we have a race to run. And the Bible says, let us run with patience. I got a kick out of that today. Run with patience the race that is set before us. I've never run with patience. I'm a sprinter, not a marathon runner. I have never been able to pace myself at much of anything. I'm either an all or none type person. I'm not a middle ground type person. I remember Brother Jackie trying out for cross country running in high school. Todd Wall talked me into going out. I didn't know what cross country was. I had on Sebagos and got on that bus, and I said, well, we're going to go cross country. And they took us on up past Broome and Ingalls and on up through Hillcrest and Skip Fry. Said, all right, boys, off. I said, where's the track? No. The track was back to the school. I seen that bus, taillights turn, and I thought, oh, dear. Well, I can tell you this. I did not patiently run. I tried to keep up with the boys. Yes, in my Sebagos, I slipped them off and was barefooting and tried to keep up with them who had been running and practicing and pacing and knew how. And it did not take long for me to fall behind. Stomach ache, cramps, and other things I won't tell you about and ruin your evening if you hadn't had supper. I'm saying there's something to understanding running a race and having patience. That is a quality you need if you're going to endure. If all you do is sprint for Jesus, and oh, how many Christians and people that they start out like a firecracker and a bottle rocket, and they are, I mean, right out of the chute, up, fast, strong, loud, and thinking they're going to be long, only to fizzle and fall as fast as they went up. And the world has seen way too much of that kind of Christianity. And we have soured the mouths of this world to not want what the church is offering, to not want what the preacher is preaching, to not want the Christ that this Bible tells us of, because there's so much on, off, stop, go, run, stop. they see that and they are not amused by it anymore. They're not interested in it. They don't want anything to do with it. They want to see something that's constant, something that will continue, something that is there, that will remain in a changing world. And that's what Christ has called us to in this race, a constant run, one that will finish the race. Amen. That was all absolutely free. None of that. Brother J.D., you didn't run in vain, but none of that was in my notes. And my notes wasn't what you chased across that parking lot. Sorry. That wasn't my message. But that was something I could have had reprinted, but I sure had fun watching you run. I thought, how fitting. I'm preaching on running for Jesus, and there goes one of the preachers running after a piece of paper. No, I'm kidding. Hey, I thank the Lord we had a young preacher that was willing to run. That's right. Verse 2. Here's where I want to really get into God's Word. Looking unto Jesus. Must God say more? I started saying must I, but God said that. Looking unto Jesus. Meditate on that phrase. I have been for days. What do we do in 2020? What do we do with the coronavirus? What do we do about opening the doors? Looking unto Jesus. What do we do when the flesh don't want to go? Look to Him. He has an answer. He is the answer. Looking unto Jesus. What do you do when your life's falling apart? Look to Jesus. What do you do when you're hurting? Look to Jesus. What do you do when you want to quit? Look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That is an answer that will be constant and continuing all the way through this journey. You better get that phrase in your Christian life. I don't care if you're a young Christian. I don't care if you're an old Christian. I don't care how long you've been saved. You better get Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the first three words, looking unto Jesus. I don't care how mature you are this evening. That verse, you will never grow old and never get past needing that. There will not come a point in this race. You will not pass a mile marker in this race that you will not need those three verses, those three words. Looking unto Jesus. And that little white car back there sits my 90-something-year-old grandma. And she's not ashamed of her age. And I ain't either. I'm proud of it. And she is too. And Grandma, I thank you for running your race with patience all these years. If you ask her tonight, I guarantee you she'll tell you. Probably the most senior person here. She'll tell you. Those three words absolutely still apply to that little lady. And so should they to her grandson, to her daughters who are here, and to you, her brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're here lost, oh, how those three words should grip you, looking unto Jesus. You've looked at this world long enough, friend. You've looked at sin and had your party and you've had your fun. But I promise you, be sure your sins will find you out. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But sinner friend, I promise you, get these three words. Let them ring in your head and down through your soul into your heart. Looking unto Jesus. That is your starting place. That is the beginning point. That is the beginning to eternal life. That is the beginning of this life. That is the joy of this life. That is the joy of that life. He is the joy. Amen. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I come thinking, what are we going to preach? But I'm getting it. Why are you getting it? It's good. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My, what a statement. He is the author, the creator, the potentate, the sovereign, the one who created it all. The author and finisher. Hallelujah. He didn't just author it. He finished. He finished. He is the finisher. You ever heard, I heard a black preacher friend of mine, His daddy just passed away here in Packlet. Many of you know him in this bad wreck up here at the lighthouse. I heard him preach his daddy's funeral. I watched it this week, and I called him and contacted him and thanked him for preaching the truth over his daddy's head to all them family members, to all those friends, to all those people that I know, many that you know, who needed to hear the unadulterated gospel. And he started by saying, all of you have been watching this documentary that's on the television. It's been on many nights. He said it'll be on tonight at 9 o'clock. And it's called The Last Dance. And I thought, what is he talking about? I ain't never heard of The Last Dance. What is The Last Dance? And then he went on a little further. And he said, y'all know Michael Jordan? Oh, yeah, Michael Jordan. I said, yeah, I know Michael Jordan. I loved watching Michael Jordan play basketball. He was unbelievable. Well, this documentary was about that last season, that sixth season, that sixth championship, and the coach, Phil Jackson, yeah. The Chicago Bulls had won five championships, and they had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis. I mean, they had the team, but they'd already won five. And that sixth season started out a dud. They lost and lost and lost. Scottie Pippen had injuries, and Michael Jordan was in contract problems. I mean, things were just not looking good. And Phil Jackson, the coach, called them in and gave them this idea and this theme of this last dance, and titled that last season this, The Last Dance, and told them how they needed to finish what they had started and not to fizzle out and be a dud at the end. And Scottie Pippen regained his physical maladies, and they got the contracts worked out. One thing happened after another, and they got it together, bottom line, and they finished well and won the season. And then I was saying, he preached that in such power. Those people were just hanging on every word, and I thought, how true, how true, how real is that to us? And he talked about, and what I'm relaying to you is, how many of us have started so well and fizzle? It doesn't matter how you start if you don't finish. How many stains are in the books? How many men? How many women? How many young people? How many young men? How many young ladies have started right and was running well only to fall and quit and get out? Tarnish their name. Tarnish the name of God. Tarnish their family, their reputation, their testimony. Oh, that has been me. And if that's where you are this evening, if you are at the quitting point, may I encourage you, I too have been there. And you don't have to, that does not have to be the end chapter of your life. Because what I just read to you, in Christ, looking unto Jesus, the Bible said He is the author, but not just the author, He's the finisher. He knows how to finish well. He knows how to finish right. He knows how to hit every mile marker. He knows how to fulfill every prophecy. He knows how, as the Bible verse goes on to say, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. It wasn't all easy. No, my friend. You say, well, He was born of a virgin. He was born perfect. He was the Son of God. He could do anything. How hard could it be? Well, this verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, says about this Son of God, about the Lord Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that. I mean, That, my friend, is where I want to finish. Around the throne of God. Having run the race as He intended for me to run. And I'll tell you, I have missed some mile markers. I have failed the Lord. But I'm doing my dead level best this evening to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And look unto Him and run this race with patience. And finish as He did. And it was not easy. And I know this is a popular message that the Christian life is all fuzzy and glorious and good. And those preachers out there peddling that. But I'm here to tell you, friend, this Christian life is not easy. No. No. Getting saved is easy. Getting saved won't cost you anything. It's free. You don't even have to work to get it. You just have to believe. It's a free gift. If you want to be saved, God will save you. If you'll ask Him, if you'll call on His name and repent of your sin and believe in your heart that Christ is Lord, He'll save you. That ain't hard. But that initiates you. That begins the race for you. And those of us who have been saved for any length of time will tell you, if anybody's honest, they'll tell you the truth that the Christian life is not all easy. It ain't all downhill. There is uphill in this race. There is resistance in this race. There's hardships in this race. They are those who, and as we'll read in verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction. So we see He's enduring a cross. That's where one way goes against another. That is a cross. That is a hard place. You know, if you look at the cross, that was no pleasant time, friend. Then we see in verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction. Do you see the contradiction? When you start living for Jesus, when we started running this race, you start enduring contradiction of sinners, just as Christ did. Sinners are not for you. Sin ain't for you. Satan ain't for you. There is resistance in this race. And Jesus, the Bible said, for consider Him. Before you quit this evening, consider Him. Consider what He did. Consider the race He ran. Before you just say, I'm done, I'm tired, I've got a crap, this, I ain't getting nothing out of this. Hey, consider Him. It wasn't easy, friend. But look what it accomplished. Because He finished, you can start. I could start and finish because He finished. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, that's the reading. Don't faint in your mind. I know in this hour, it's easy to get weary. Hello? I'm up here preaching this evening, and I'm telling you, it's easy to get weary in 2020. In this coronavirus, whatever we're dealing with, I get weary with it. I am sick of it. I'm tired of it. I want life the way it was. And so do you. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's no time, just because you're weary, worn, and tired, to give in, to throw in, and to quit on God. No, friend. What if Jesus had to quit when it got hard? Where would we be? We wouldn't be here. But thank God He endured such contradiction of sinners. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Hallelujah. Now, let me say number one. Number one, it's 12 minutes till 8. I have about ruined y'all with this 20-minute preaching. I done found me a cubbyhole over here. It's not affecting my voice. I'm not cold. We might be here 2 hours. No, I'm kidding. Breathe, people, breathe. I'm kidding. We about done. I'm just going to give you this outline and we'll be done. Number one, verse 2a, the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. He's the author. Apart from that firm foundation, we would not be in this race. Hallelujah. He is the foundation. He is the first and the last. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. The book of the Revelation again, all the way at the end, 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank God for a firm foundation in Christ. You can look to that foundation in a weary time. You can look unto Him, and that foundation will never fail you. That foundation, while everything else in this world is changing and turning, that foundation will never compromise. It'll never alter. It'll never change. It's sustaining from now throughout age. He's the same. What a foundation we have in Christ. How firm a foundation. Looking unto Jesus, the foundation. Number two, in verse 2, we see the fulfillment. Not only is He the foundation, looking unto Jesus, He's the foundation, but He's the fulfillment in this. I'm preaching on the joy. Jesus, the joy for your journey. Jesus, the joy for your journey. You better get that. If you're going to finish this race, you will have to yoke up with Him. You will not finish this race on your own. You don't have it in you. I don't have it in me. I don't have the skill. I don't have the capability. I don't have the endurance. I don't have the stamina without Him. And neither do you. There's never been one born of woman with that ability except Christ. That's why it's so important to look unto Him while you run. When you get impatient, remember these verses. He's the fulfillment. The Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, listen, who for the joy that was set before Him. Get that phrase. Who for the joy that was set before Him. That's speaking of fulfillment. Joy set before Him. Listen, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you separate yourself from joy and you travel on this journey apart from joy, you will not last. The joy of the Lord will strengthen you. It will give you stamina. It absolutely helps you. Right now as I'm preaching, God has filled me with joy and give me strength to preach on this evening. I'm telling you, joy is absolutely, emphatically, and absolutely important in your Christian life. You must have fulfillment. If you lose the joy of the Lord, you will quit running. You will get your eyes on other things. You will find joy and pleasure in other things. And you will get off the mark and you'll get all out of the race. But Jesus, the fulfillment of this race, you got to get that. Looking on, you got to get to the place in the Christian life where Jesus is enough to give you joy. That's a mouthful. Because in 2020, we have got so many trinkets and so many toys and so many games and so many things that have distracted us, and we think we find joy in everything else, and Jesus is simply not enough. And what I'm finding and what I'm seeing, Brother Jackie, I believe this, we have went back in time in this little area. If you just look, people, you can't go out and eat like you was. You can't go to the bar. You can't do a lot of things, and so time has slowed down. And God's been reminding me and showing me this world don't have the answer to give us joy. It don't have any juice to give us to get us down this journey. No, it's Jesus and Jesus alone that can give you joy to get you through your journey home. Amen. And He will fulfill you. If you look to Him, you will be fulfilled. You say, where do you get joy? Where do you get fulfilled out of that word? You know what joy is? It's when you get fulfilled. Fulfillment. Filled full of joy. That's fulfillment. Yes. Filled full of joy. Fulfilled. You need to get full of Christ. You need to look to Him and let Him look to you and let that relationship grow in you and stir and let Him fill you with His joy. Yes. That will put gas in your tank. That'll get you on down the journey. That'll get you on down the road if you look to Him and really make eye contact. Amen. Get that. How often do we glare? Listen. How often do we glare at God but not look to Jesus? My, what a statement. Oh, we'll glare up toward the heavens and pitter-patter some little prayer, but we ain't a bit more look to Jesus. When you look to Jesus, looking unto Him, you will be fulfilled. You will get joy if you make eye contact with Him. If He becomes not a you in all of heaven, but a you one-on-one with Jesus, you will leave fulfilled with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. That is the trick. That is the absolute must in the Christian life, is to make eye contact one-on-one. Not with a preacher, not with a brother or a sister, not even with your wife at times. Not even with your children at times. They cannot fulfill that you need no more than I can. But I tell you who can. Jesus can. He can. He don't run out. My wife comes to me at times and I have nothing to give her. I have no joy to impart to her. I have nothing to fulfill her. But I promise you, I've never went to Jesus and He was run out. And He didn't have nothing to fulfill me with. Always, every time, all the time when I make eye contact with Him, and look into those eternal eyes. Yes, friend. That's joy. That's joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. Let me give you a few verses. My goodness, I can't see the time. Oh, there it is. My big old new pretty Bible. Ain't that pretty? Got a Bible big enough for y'all to see from out there. I can even read the letters on it. They're about that big. I didn't even wear glasses tonight. Ain't that a blessing? Fulfillment. Fulfillment. Fulfill. Feel full. Joy. What does the Bible say about joy? Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let me just pause there, and I don't preach about this, but you know, if you get full of Jesus and full of joy, and if you've been looking at Jesus a lot, it's hard to get sideways with your brother. You get a lot sweeter when you've been spending time with Jesus. You can put up with a lot more people's junk when you've been with Jesus. You hot-tempered, you short-fused, how about look to Him? It'll help that. That's just a little daily dose, but that'll help you. Being of one accord and one mind. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. Listen to these verses. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, our rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. It's talking about ye, you, the believers. We, the believers. Do you know this is my joy to be able to come to church? When I see you come to church, that brings joy into my heart. When multiple people come, and when you don't come, it robs me of joy. You say, well, I didn't know it was. Well, it does. So get your tail here. Amen. You say, well, I'm here. Well, I'm preaching to you for next week when you're thinking about it. And don't act like you don't think about it. I'm the preacher, and I think about it. Amen. And we are each other's joy. Hey, listen, could you imagine your life without the church? Without God's people? Imagine how much joy would be sucked out of our lives if God removed every memory, every joy that's been brought to our journey through God's people, the church. Oh, yes. That's absolutely critical. The Bible says, "For ye are our glory and joy." Philemon 1:7, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Yeah. Brothers and sisters bring joy when they're in Jesus. James 1:2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." You say, can we have joy? I mean, preacher, do you not know we're living in a pandemic? We're living in something. I'll say that. Pandemic, I don't know. It's something. It's aggravating. I know people's died, lots of them. 70 plus thousand in America, they say. That's bad. I don't want to get nobody sick. I want to be safe. But I'm aggravated with the whole shooting match. I'm aggravated with it all. And I get weary with it. I get tired of hearing the news and the anchors and the media and all the people. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. I want to be able to go to town and take my family in. Hey, listen, I want to be able to hug your neck and love on the people of God. I do. I'm not going to for the time being, but I want to. I miss that. I went to Mama's car this evening. I wanted to hug her. I went to my grandma. I wanted to hug her. I didn't. I'm tired. You know what? That brings, you know why? That brings me joy. Yes. Don't you long for the day when all this will be over? Yes. What a joy. And it will be over. This did not come to stay. I promise you that. This has a history, and it will soon come. Amen. 1 John 1:4. "And these things write we unto you." Listen, you almost done. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to let you go almost right now. See how I work that word in? Almost right now? So close. 1 John 1:4. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Say, well, what is that? That's 1 John 1:4. He said, "These things have I written unto you, that your joy may be full." Okay, well then, that's telling you all three books of John. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He said, "I've written these things unto you, that your joy may be full." You ought to go do? I promise you, go read those little three epistles. 1, 2, 3 John. You'll get full of joy. There's plenty of love and joy. I believe I got in my other Bible 29 times in one of those little chapters. Love. The word love is found in one little chapter. Just go read those verses in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, that your joy may be full. 2 John chapter 1, verse 12. "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink." Listen to this. I thought about this with our situation. "But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." Do you know my joy this evening is pretty full? But I'm going to be honest with you. Before we leave this evening, I'm going to be honest with you. My joy is not to the tippy top. You know why? Because y'all out there. I can't hug you. I can't look you face to face. I can't shake your hand. I can't. So I'm telling you, it brings me great joy to have church with the people of God. To see you face to face. And I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. Paul said, listen to this. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." He said, and speak face to face. He said, "I would not write with paper and ink." He said, "I could write this to you, but it don't mean the same. It ain't the same thing if I send you a card or send you a text or leave you a voicemail. It ain't the same thing as me seeing you face to face. Looking at you, being here in the flesh, it ain't the same." That's what he said. That's in the Word of God. It is a difference. And you know it's a difference when your birthday rolls around and somebody sends you a text or sends you something in the mail. That's great. Hallelujah. Especially if it's got something green in it. Say amen. But there's just something about that face-to-face contact. That eye-to-eye. Man to man. Mano a mano. There's something about being able to see you and fellowship with you. So it is with Christ. Going back to where we started, looking unto Him face to face. We look through a glass dimly and darkly, but one day, face to face, at the finish of this race, we will see Him face to face. And oh, it will make a difference. And you talking about joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? Oh yes, friend. What a day that will be. We're coming. We're landing the plane. Jude 1:24. We're talking about fulfillment in Christ. Looking unto Jesus. He's the foundation. He's the fulfillment. Jude 1:24 said, "Now unto Him that is able." My, what a statement. "Now unto Him that is able." Say, "I ain't able to live that, preacher. I ain't able to do that. I don't have joy." "Now unto Him that is able." Looking unto Him. "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to keep you running, to keep you charged, to keep joy in your tank, to keep filling you with joy, 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 to keep you filled in this race. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy." Amen. I say hallelujah. I feel like traveling on this evening. He is the foundation. He is the fulfillment. He is the forerunner. Meaning He's already run this race. He's already come this way. He knows where you're at. He ain't asking you to do something He didn't do. I'm not going to preach that. But He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's been here before. And finally, He is our future. He is our final. He's the finality. He is where we're headed. He is not just the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's not just the start. He's the end. He's not just the beginning. He's the final. That's where we're going. Hallelujah. The Bible said in verse 2, "And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He was the first. He ran His race. And now He's seated on the throne of God. And we too are heading there. This journey leads home. Amen. I say run. Jesus was there at the beginning and He will be there in the end. He went all, and He's all the way through. All you have to do is look. I'm done. Look, I'm closing my Bible. I'm going to give you this verse and we'll close. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for this sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. God bless you. I love you. You dismissed.